It's the day that we start to celebrate the Holy Week, or the day. Today's the day we celebrate Jesus' entry, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This event is mentioned in all four Gospels. We're a large group of people, after seeing miracles and stuff that he was doing in the area, and they found out he was coming to Jerusalem. A large group of people gathered, and they put their clothes, their coats and stuff, and lined the roads with palm leaves. When I read it, the accounts of this in the scriptures, it kind of reminds me of a parade. I think of the peanut parade, only instead of having people in floats lining the thing, we got palm branches and stuff. But this day, it marked a time of celebration during Jesus' ministry, and the people that were around him at that time were celebrating and praising him. For us looking back, we have a little bit different perspective on it. It's bittersweet, because when we read in these scriptures this morning about the celebration that took place as he entered in Jerusalem, We know what the ending is. We know that the cross is coming. We know that. We also know that the same crowd of people who were welcoming him in and laying their coats and their branches on the side of the road to praise him were also some of the same people who just a few days later were yelling, "Crucify him!" So within just a few short days, what began as words of praise for Christ changed to chants for his death. They started out crying Hosanna, and then later they were crying Crucify him. So Billy Graham, he quoted several times. He's credited as quoting this, and said on multiple occasions that the greatest mission field that our country has, that our faith has, is our local church. It's people sitting in our churches. I think there's some truth to that. I'm not sure, and it's my hope that's not maybe necessarily the truth in this church, but one thing that I do know is that there are a lot of people out there that they know what to say, they know the things to do, they know how to act, they know how to talk like the Christian talk, but when it comes down to it, when the rubber hits the road, there's part of that personal relationship that's available to us with Christ that's missing. And I think that in the passages that we look at this morning, there will be some good examples of this. So we'll look at it. On Sunday, this Sunday, Jesus rode into the city with people shouting praises for him and looking at praising God for all the miracles that he did. You know, I think that he had just dealt with Lazarus too, and some people were aware that he'd been raising people from the dead and stuff. But on Friday, they were shouting, "Give us Barabbas." They wanted Jesus crucified. So the question I want us to think about this morning is, what had changed in these people's hearts? I know there are a lot of possible things that could have changed between them, but one thing that's obvious to me is the change that happened is that their words that they were saying didn't necessarily match what was in their heart. They didn't stand on their convictions. They had a casual faith, not a committed faith. They had religion, but they missed the person of Jesus. So how can we have a committed faith? How can we be real? How can we be sincere? How can we be consistent in the things that we say and the things that we do? How can we make sure that what we say and what we do lines up with who we say we are? This morning, I want to offer you a few keys that may help us live out such a faith. The first one is that a committed faith isn't self-centered, it's Christ-centered. Now, I know this kind of, it may sound obvious to some of us, and at times it feels obvious. But at the same time, I think about myself. I think about some of the other Christians I know and how busy things tend to get. And just in the Western world in general, how busy and chaotic life seems to be. And it lends itself to us saying, "Hey, God, here's my calendar. This is what I got. I've got a few blocks of space in here. I'm going to make sure and carve out a couple hours on Sunday for you. And I'm going to make sure that I'm going to try to make sure I carve out some time on Wednesday for you, too. Probably squeeze him in here, maybe take a little time out during the week and squeeze in a devotion in the morning or something." But at the end of the day, we're putting God in boxes in our life. We're doing it when it's convenient. And I think that there is some of this is represented in the scriptures this morning. I'm going to start off reading in John chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. Says, "When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him, and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priest decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them and believed in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down to the road to meet him. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail to the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy that said, "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that these things had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, and they were telling others about it. That was the reason so many went out to meet him, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Now in the passage here that we read, the people, they praised Jesus as he passed by. But many of them did it for one of two reasons, I think. The first was because of the miracles that they had heard him do and seen. Some of them had been witnessed to and seen. He'd healed the sick. It talks there about the example of Lazarus being raised from the dead, so they saw that. I think that's one reason. And the second reason why people were praising him there is I think that they saw it as a way for the Jews or the Israelites to be freed politically from the Romans, to be set free in the same way maybe that the Israelites were set free from the Egyptians. Their praise was tempered with the attitude of, "What can Jesus do for me?" And I think that a lot of modern Christians, so-called Christians, fall into the same frame of mind or way of thinking. So we see the example there of how the people were praising him as he came into Jerusalem that day. And then a few days later at the trial, the Jesus they saw looked a little bit differently. He is beaten, scarred. He was a man who no longer looked like a deliverer or a conqueror. And as words were said about him, they bought into all the lies and quickly changed their position. They went from "Hail to the King" to "Crucify him." For them, it was all about me. What was Christ going to do for them? I ask you today, what are you going to do for Christ? We need to choose to honor today our King, Jesus Christ, by giving him our very best, not what's left over in our lives. Not holding anything back, give him our all. The second key I want to bring forward this morning is that a committed faith is relationship driven. Many of those people who gathered around on Jesus' way into Jerusalem and threw their coats and palm branches into the street, and shouted praises. I think many of them probably did it because it was a popular thing to do. You know, everybody's gathering up and doing this, so let's just go along with the flow. In the moment, it was the thing to do. It was trendy. I'm sure there were some there who were doing it with sincere motives, but others, I'm sure, did it just because everybody was doing it. And then I think there was some of that also later at the trial. Shouting "Crucify him" became the thing to do. In fact, for a brief moment, that was the trendy thing to do. And they called for Christ to be crucified and Barabbas to be released. I want you all to understand this morning that Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died to start a relationship. He died for you. He died for me. He died to bridge that gap between us, humanity, and God. Let's look in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start reading in verse 21 and go to 23. Jesus said here, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I'll reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" I'll say it again. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died to start a relationship. He didn't say that we didn't do, he didn't tell them that you didn't do enough good things. He didn't say that maybe you didn't stop on the side of the road when the old lady was trying to change her tire and help her out. He didn't say, "Oh, you didn't pray for that guy in the parking lot this morning who was sharing some of his struggles with you." He said, "The problem is, I never knew you. You never took the time to get to know me because you're too busy trying to impress me." In our own lives, a committed faith only comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One where every day's fresh and new, and we look at him to direct our steps. In order to have a committed faith, we must maintain and develop a personal relationship with Christ. The third key I want to bring this morning is that a committed faith isn't swayed or blocked by our personal trials and crises. I preach to Kaylee pretty regularly about about our circumstances dictating our mood and how that's not the approach that we need to use in life. It's the same in our faith. A committed faith isn't swayed. So at the parade, when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, it was popular and trendy to offer praise and say, "Hey, praise to the King." Everybody was doing it. But at the trial, to speak out for Jesus would have been risky, right? And call him the King. Possibly even life-threatening. At that point, if somebody would have stood up and said, "Hail the King of Israel," they might have been crucified with him. A lot of us, we come to Jesus expecting everything to go good, that it's going to be the magic cure that fixes everything in our life. And for me, it was a cure that fixed the way I viewed life, but it didn't fix all of life's problems. So a lot of us come expecting everything to go good, maybe a little bit of bad things here and there, but overall, just not too much, right? But when the bottom drops out, when everything comes caving in and crumbling down, what do we do then? "Why, God? Why me? Why'd you take him from us? Or why'd you take her from us?" I hear it a lot in death, and I understand why that question comes up. But we approach things thinking that it's not supposed to happen that way. I want you to look in Luke now, in chapter 19, verses 41 through 43. Jesus, as he drew near to the city, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side." There are going to be times, y'all. Jesus repeated it in multiple different places in the Bible. There are going to be times when we're surrounded, when our faith is being tested and tried. And if our faith is based on situations and circumstances, it'll never be committed. It'll always be casual. So I think about some of the concerts and stuff we went to. I know we went to some fun ones, some pretty big ones. I can think of Toby Mac. We went to a couple of times, and We the People, and these big stadiums that are packed full of people jamming and praising God. And I think how easy it is for everybody in that setting to praise God. And I think about how easy it is for us in here, really, to come and praise God and talk about His Word and His Scripture and how it applies to our life, where everybody's doing it. It's easy. Tomorrow, though, that's when we face a little bit more difficult task. When we go to work and maybe it's not the trendy or popular thing to do. Maybe saying something about God might get you in a pinch, or at school. It's a little bit more difficult to talk about God in that setting. I'll say again that a committed faith takes the good with the bad, knowing that all we're ever promised is that in the midst of both our good and bad, on the mountaintops and in the trials, Jesus will never leave or forsake us. He stands with us. I read a story about a little girl who was walking in a garden. I figured the gardeners might like it. She found a particularly beautiful flower, and she admired how beautiful and how pretty it was and how good it smelled. She looked at it. She noticed that the stem down into the soil was growing down into the soil. And the little girl thought to herself, "Man, this flower is way too pretty to be just hanging out in the dirt like that." So she pulled it up and went to the faucet and washed the dirt off the roots. What long later, of course, the flower wilts and dies. When the gardener saw that what she had done, he explained to her, "Man, you have destroyed my finest plant." She said, "I'm sorry, but it was dirty. I didn't like the dirt being all over it." The gardener told her that he had chose that spot specifically and mixed all the dirt together because he knew that only there could it grow to be the beautiful flower that it was. See, it's the same for us at times. God puts us in places. He puts us in situations. He puts us where we are. We have to trust him. That's faith. In the trusting, we eventually see that he uses the pressures that we face. He uses the trials that we go through. And he uses the difficulties that we experience to bring us to a new spiritual understanding of things. True contentment comes when we accept what God's doing and thank him for it, regardless of the circumstances. This morning, is your faith casual or is it committed? As we approach this week where Jesus suffered incredibly for us, a week where our sins, past, present, future, were the nails that hung him on the cross, does Jesus deserve a second look? Does he deserve to be in control of your life? Does he deserve a personal relationship with you? So the nails that hung him on the cross was the sin of the world. I want everybody to think about that this morning. Think about the things that trip you up in your life, that trip you up in your faith, in your walk. Think about the struggles that we have. We have palm leaves here on the walkway beside you. I want to ask that everybody, think of the things that challenge you the most when it comes to your faith, and realize that those things are what lined the street that Christ walked down to Jerusalem. Those are the nails that put him on the cross. And I want to ask that as the music plays, whenever you feel led to come up, grab a palm leaf. Picture that as being your sins, as your struggles. You can grab one from the jar up here. Just think about the things that Christ has helped you overcome in your life. The way that he's taken all the other burdens that we've faced away from us at different times, or help us to share in that burden. And I want us to remember as we start out this Holy Week, the week leading up to Easter, that all these things that trip us up, we can take them and we can place them at the foot of the cross. Christ is with us to take on these burdens. So as you feel led, just come up and grab a palm leaf and look at that. Allow that to represent the things that trip you up and place them at the foot of the cross. That as we get ready to close out our Palm Sunday service, that God will use this time in your life to renew and strengthen your walk, your faith, that he'll use this to open your eyes to the areas that he expects and wants more from us. Hope that he uses this time to help us realize and understand that a committed faith is one that's God-centered, not centered around ourselves. Pray that he uses this time to help us realize and understand that he wants us to live out a committed faith to him. He wants it to be about a personal relationship with him, not about religion, not about doing good things, but about a true relationship with Christ. If y'all would bow your heads with me as I close in prayer.